So today is the third Sunday of Easter. Today's gospel reading was from the Gospel of John. In order to understand the story that we've just read, we need a little bit more context, because the last couple of weeks we've been paying attention to the story in the Gospel of Luke, and this is a part of the resurrection account in the Gospel of John. So John's gospel tells us that Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early in the morning on the first day of the week. And when she doesn't find Jesus, she runs to tell the disciples, who then come to see the empty tomb for themselves, but they don't know what to make of it. After the disciples have left, Mary stays outside of the tomb crying, and Jesus appears to her. And when he speaks her name, she recognizes him. Later that same day, the disciples are hiding in a room together, and Jesus appears to them and speaks a word of peace. And that's significant in and of itself, because he doesn't reprimand the disciples for abandoning him. He doesn't scold them for hiding. He appears to them and he says, "Peace be with you." 8 days later, Jesus appears to the disciples again when Thomas is among them, and he invites Thomas to place his hands on Jesus' wounds so that he might believe it really is Jesus. So all of these things have happened before the story that we just read. At this point in the story, the resurrected Christ has appeared to the disciples twice. The disciples are no longer in doubt about resurrection. They're no longer perplexed by it. They're no longer pondering what does it mean that Jesus' body is not in the tomb. They have encountered resurrection firsthand, so they believe in it. They have seen and touched Jesus' scars. They have spoken with Jesus. They have had peace spoken over them, and they've broken bread with Jesus. And now, in this story, the disciples seem to return to their normal, ordinary lives. They seem to return to the lives that they led before journeying with Jesus, before Jesus was crucified, before Jesus was raised from the dead. One night, the disciples are hanging out together, and Peter says, "I'm going fishing." And the other disciples are like, "That's a great idea, we'll go with you." So they set out on their fishing boat to spend the night fishing, but they don't catch anything throughout the night, not a single fish. And when the morning comes, Jesus stands on the shore and he calls out to them, "Have you caught anything?" In typical disciple fashion, I'm sure this was a shock to all of us, the disciples don't recognize Jesus. And then they tell this person who they think is a stranger, "No, we haven't caught anything." Because, you know, that's what you do. You respond to the stranger that's standing 100 yards away on the shore. So Jesus suggests that they cast their net over on the right side of the boat, and they take his advice, and they catch so many fish that they can't even haul in the net. And at this point, the disciples recognize Jesus, and Peter swims to the shore to be with Jesus, leaving the other disciples to haul in the net, which is a lot of work, because, you know, Peter. And I'm sure they weren't mad at all. The disciples then meet Jesus on the shore where there is a fire, and they share a meal together. After they finish eating, Jesus talks to Peter, and he asks Peter 3 times, "Do you love me?" And each time, Peter responds, "Yes, Lord, you know I love you." This is followed by Jesus giving Peter the command to feed my lambs, take care of my sheep, feed my sheep, and finally, the command to follow me. If there's a question that this passage seems to ask, it's the question, what comes next? What comes next? What comes after we hear the good news of resurrection? What comes after we have encountered the risen Christ? It might strike us as odd that the disciples encountered the risen Christ twice and then went back to their ordinary lives. The way that John tells the story almost makes it seem like the disciples are like, "Oh, Jesus is risen. That's cool. Let's go fishing now." It almost seems to discount how big of a deal the resurrection is. I don't know about you, but if one of my beloved friends was suddenly raised from the dead, my first response would not be, okay, I'm going back to work. But what else were the disciples supposed to do? When we've encountered resurrection, what comes next? I think this is a question that the church has tried to answer for years, and we've come to some interesting conclusions. One response that we give to this question is that we have determined that what comes next is obviously the fact that when we die, we get into heaven. And so we have made everything about this one goal. We orient our lives around being good Christians in the hopes that when we die, our goodness will be recognized and rewarded with a spot in heaven. We think this life doesn't really matter. Resurrection does matter, but it's only because it means that we get to go to heaven, and so that's what comes next. Right now, we're just passing through this life. We do the best we can to make it through with minimal scars and suffering, but the ultimate goal is what happens when we die. Another response that we've given to this question involves going to the opposite extreme, and we think what comes next just involves a lot of waiting. We're waiting for Christ to come back, and that means that everything else needs to be put on hold because we don't want to be caught off guard. This response is fueled by this escapism ideology, the idea that being a Christian means that we get to escape from the ugliness of the world. And so this response neglects this life just as much as the other one. It just does it in a different way. Instead of seeing this life as something that we are just passing through, this response sees this life as nothing more than a distraction. This life distracts us from waiting properly for Christ to return. It distracts us from what awaits us on the other side. So what comes next is that we need to wait with constant vigilance so we will be ready to escape this world at any given moment. And another way that we respond to this question is to say, this life does matter, but that's because Christians are the best. Christians are on the winning team. We're the ones who get it right. We believe all the right things. So that means that we are more important than anyone else. We're victorious now. This life matters because we get to be in power. And when Jesus comes back, he's going to be in power too, and we're going to come out on top, and it's going to be great. This response says, well, what comes next? Obviously, we are holy. And that means that we're separated from the world. There's an us and there's a them. So these are all ways that the church has tried to answer the question, what comes next? What happens after we have encountered resurrection? What do we do with this information? These are the ways that we have tried to answer these questions, and these answers are all wrong. These responses all attempt to provide bigger answers than these questions need. They all attempt to make what comes next this big, complex thing, but the truth is, it's not that complicated. The truth is, the disciples were not wrong when they decided to go fishing. The disciples were not discounting how big of a deal resurrection is. They were not unimpressed with resurrection. The disciples went back to what they knew, but it wasn't because they were ignoring or downplaying the resurrection. They went back to the ordinary because they knew God's work was finished on the cross, and yet the work of resurrection was not over. They knew the work of resurrection must now continue in and through the simple, the ordinary, and the mundane. Because resurrection works in and through the ordinary. Resurrection transforms the ordinary. The disciples returned to the ordinary task of fishing, but this ordinary task would never be the same for them again. Having seen resurrection, it was not possible for this task to return to normal. And that was good news. Through the ordinary task of fishing, the disciples encountered resurrection once again. They encountered resurrection anew when Christ came to them on the beach. This story shows resurrection at work. This story seems to say, well, what comes next? The work of resurrection continues. God continues to make all things new, to bring all things together. And we see evidence of that in the fact that God transforms the simple, ordinary, mundane task of fishing. Resurrection transforms the ordinary. It transformed the task of fishing for the disciples. And it also transformed the ordinary fire for Peter. In John chapter 18, it tells the story of Peter denying Jesus three times. And in John's gospel account, as he's denying Jesus, Peter is warming his hands by a fire. I would imagine that this was probably not the first fire that Peter had seen since the night that he denied Jesus. And I would also imagine that as Peter saw the fire on the beach, memories of his shame as he warmed his hands on another fire crept in. I'd imagine these memories challenged Peter's identity and self-worth. But resurrection transforms the fire in this story. It transforms the fire from a symbol of Peter's shame to a symbol of Peter's discipleship. Just as Peter denied Jesus three times around one fire, so Peter also confesses his love for Jesus three times around this fire. Around this fire, the resurrected Christ helps Peter to reclaim his identity and his calling. Resurrection transforms, redeems, renews, and restores the fire, and transforms, redeems, renews, and restores Peter's identity. And resurrection transforms us in and through the simple, the ordinary, the mundane tasks and symbols in our everyday lives. Resurrection is already at work. So what comes next? We continue to go about our ordinary lives because resurrection has already transformed them. And resurrection will only continue to be at work. God is in the business of resurrection and the renewal of all things. God is in the business of bringing all things together, and this does not exclude this life. It cannot exclude the ordinary. So what comes next? We continue fishing. We get back to work. And as we do, we will encounter the risen Christ again and again, and the ordinary will be transformed and renewed and restored and redeemed again and again. In Scottsdale, that's good news. The disciples encountered resurrection. It's not a mistake in any of the gospel stories that the disciples encounter resurrection more than once. And they respond to encountering resurrection by living into a new life. This doesn't mean that they throw out their old lives to go and do something different. It means that they live into their ordinary lives in a new, transformed way. Because that's what you do when you encounter resurrection. It doesn't go back to normal after that. They responded to resurrection by living their ordinary lives, knowing that they had been transformed and knowing that resurrection was still at work. They responded by living their ordinary lives, knowing that while it was finished, it was not over. And this is the same call to new life that this passage gives us. Not to throw away our lives in the hopes of getting to heaven or because we see our lives as a distraction, not to live as if we think that we're God's favorites, but to live into our ordinary lives in a new, transformed way. Even now, at this very moment, God is working to make all things new and to bring all things together. All things. All of the messy, complicated things and all of the simple, ordinary things. God is bringing all things together to renew and redeem and restore them. So live your life knowing that the ordinary has already been transformed. Because you have encountered resurrection, and that means that the ordinary will never be the same. Join me in prayer. God of life and resurrection, for so long we have wondered what comes next after we have heard the good news. And this story tells us that resurrection continues to be at work in the simple, the mundane, and the ordinary. Resurrection is always at work to renew and restore and redeem all things. Resurrection was at work in transforming fishing for the disciples, that was at work in transforming the fire for Peter and transforming Peter. And it is at work in transforming us. As we live our ordinary lives, may you continue to remind us that our lives have already been transformed and resurrection is still at work. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen.